open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Now, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your buckle up, because take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Bryson pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And we welcome you to this Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to have an interesting show for you tonight. Brad Maynard, Browns punter, or at least the punter who finished the season. We all know Reggie Hodges was supposed to be that guy at the start of the year, and Brad Maynard was punter number three after a guy named Richmond McGee in between Hodges and Maynard. But he was the punter for most of the season. Interesting stuff from Brad. Just talking and reflecting on his season with the Browns and on the future, because he's signed just for one season for this 2011 campaign. So we'll hear from Brad. We'll take a look around the league with Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Interesting stories, the firing of Hugh Jackson in Oakland, the hiring of Mike Mularkey as head coach in Jacksonville. We'll go around the league and check out some of the headlines. Clark Judge, always great with that for CBSSports.com, their veteran football writer. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former standout offensive lineman. We review the offensive line position, continuing our series with that on tonight's show. Your questions come to us via the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, and Ask Vic is driven by Liberty Ford. Via Twitter, we've got Kubelik151 asking, would it be smart to get Hugh Jackson for offensive coordinator for that OC position that the Browns are trying to fill? I don't think so. I think Hugh Jackson's, in terms of his system, it doesn't fit what the Browns are doing. This is a West Coast attack. Yes, he's familiar with that, but he's more about the Raider mentality, that Al Davis approach of kind of stretching the field and more of the deeper drops and looking for the longer passing plays as opposed to more of the horizontal type plays that fit the Pat Shurmur / West Coast Mike Holmgren West Coast scheme that the Browns run, and that I think they're going to be more built to do going forward. Brian from Facebook asked, how high is too high to draft a running back? I would say, excuse me, where the Browns sit at four could be too high. This is a personal thing with me. I just think drafting a back in the first round period, not necessarily a bad thing, but in that top five range, maybe even top 10 range, it's a little high because I think really good backs are attainable in lower portions of the draft, if not in the draft at all, just through free agency. I think you run a good enough system. I'm not saying they grow on trees. You know, you can't just find a running back anywhere, but like you say, with a kicker or some other position, and it's probably not even true with kicker or any other position, but a good running back, good running backs have been found in places other than the upper reaches of the draft. All right. In a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation with Browns punter Brad Maynard as we take you through this Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12. True to the game, EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Celebrate the new year with a new device from Verizon, like the 4G LTE Pantech Breakout. Now only $49.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, buy a new 4G LTE smartphone and you can double your data for the same low price. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Verizon. Requires new two-year activation and data pack. Early termination and other fees apply. Double your data applies to new activations or upgrades and data packs 2 GB or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
So you're starting a business with no customers and no employees, you're paying a landlord and an accountant even though you have no sales, and you'll be working 18 hours a day. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, I am.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
If your type 2 diabetes isn't under control on your current medication, only metformin, or diet and exercise, you may be eligible to participate in a research study. Daystar Clinical Research is conducting a clinical research study to evaluate an investigational diabetes medication. For details, call 888-313-1924. Eligible participants will receive study medication and glucometer supplies at no cost. Reimbursement for your time and travel may be provided. To learn more, call 888-313-1924.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe, the company that has settled more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. can settle your debt too, while you make one low monthly program payment. You now have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. To find out how much you could save, call Freedom Debt Relief. 1-800-575-9757. 1-800-575-9757. 1-800-575-9757.
Welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Or Ford. I don't want the voice to crack on that, but it's getting better. It's getting better. We're fighting through it. This segment is brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now. EA Sports. It's in the game. Pleased to have with us now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Browns punter Brad Maynard. Brad, first of all, just such an unusual season for you to come in late after the first game, but then to quickly establish yourself as a tremendous help to this team. As you think back to that time, how difficult was it to kind of make the, I know you're a veteran, but to make that quick adjustment that you had to make to playing for the Browns?
It was a little different for me. That was the first time in my career I'd experienced being on the street, you know, missing week one of the season. But once I got here, I just remember that first day of practice, just telling myself, you know, just another day at the office, you know, just do what you do. And I didn't feel like I had to impress the Browns. I didn't feel like they didn't make me work out. They really just signed me and said, you're a guy. So that definitely helped me ease into being their guy.
There was a great trust in your body of work.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously that came from Coach Tabor. You know, we're together for 3 years in Chicago, and you know, Coach Holmgren, I'm assuming, had a little bit to do with that, and you know, played against him several times throughout the years. So they certainly weren't a team that looked at numbers, put it that way.
And for your sake, the other interesting dynamic here is Reggie Hodges was an outstanding punter that they had. He suffers that freak Achilles injury, obviously, that begins this whole thing. But then to have what they had in that first game with Richmond McGee, it was really a disastrous situation with injury, bad performance, whatever. This had to be solved right away. I mean, there was no margin for error.
Yeah, and that makes me feel good that I was the first call they made after that. But yeah, you're right. They had to solve it quickly. They lost a game because of the punting situation. I'm sure people looked at it like that. So I'm glad I was able to step in.
And as we look at the style of punting you provided, a lot of it was your strengths. Great hang time you brought to the table and directional kicking. Those have been your fortes throughout your career.
Yeah, they have. That's what I do well. not a lot of guys can directional punt, I guess, get the ball outside the numbers consistently with that kind of hang time. You know, I lose a little bit of distance doing that, obviously. And then it just doesn't really seem like to me like there's room for error then, because I've done a lot of studies on the directional punting, and a 45-yard punt down the middle of the field is 39 yards out of bounds at the sideline. So you're losing 6 yards if you hit it out of bounds, just simple geometry. And outside the numbers, you're losing 3.5 yards. So if I hit a 44-yard punt outside the numbers, it's really like 47 down the middle. You know, so I'm already losing a few yards hitting the ball outside the numbers, and then you throw in a bad punt, which we all have, and then it just makes the numbers look even worse. So, and then top off playing in Cleveland in the cold and the wind, all 6 punts were going against that wind for whatever reason. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's the challenge. But you've punted, obviously, bad weather kicking, and it was another, I'm sure, factor that was considered in signing you, is that you've managed this before in a place like Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been labeled, I guess, the cold weather wind guy now, so, which is fine, you know. I've always wondered what it'd be like to play in a dome, though, or somewhere where they just say bomb away, you know.
Browns punter Brad Maeder joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Now, Brad, it was a kind of a rough season in many cases for special teams. Ryan Pompreon loses his job as a long snapper because of some of those bad snaps that you were actually did a remarkable job of fielding at times as well. So how hard was it because everybody takes that as you take that as a group, the mechanics of the whole thing working. So when one thing fails, everybody feels that sense of failure. I know Phil Dawson did as well. Just how was that to deal with?
It wasn't bad at first. I think at first we just didn't realize the type of slump that Ryan was in. We all tried to work him through it and get more snaps out of practice, and let's get some extra ones. And I think that compounded the problem. I mean, almost for him, it would have been better probably just to not snap 1 week and then just go into the game and go. You know, hindsight's 20/20. But at first, it wasn't a big deal. But you know, after a few weeks of it, it started wearing on us, and Phil and I started, you know, instead of focusing really on our job, and we were more wondering, you know, where's the snap going to be? And it's hard to play like that.
Sure. And as you sort of look going forward with this team, obviously Reggie Hodges is going to try to recover from that Achilles, and I guess the hope would be that for him to try to come back. But as you look ahead to the future, what are your thoughts? And as far as being on this team long term, I'm sure that's your goal.
It is. As of right now, I really don't even know what the future holds for me. I told Reggie when I came here, this is a one-year thing, one-year stop for me. I wasn't going to come back and compete against him for the job next year, and I certainly still stand by that. I don't want to come here and have to prove myself and to compete against him and a friend. And I know it's a business. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Does that give you any mixed feelings kind of going forward, or have you been around this enough just to kind of know how to deal with it from a mental standpoint?
Well, I've never really had to deal with this, no. So I don't know how to handle it. You know, my gut right now says that's, like I just said, I don't want to come back and compete against Reggie for a job. I don't think that's fair to either one of us.
So if you're coming back, you want to come back as the punter or be elsewhere as the punter, not a guy competing?
Yes, that's how I feel right now.
And just on this team, it was a 4-win season, obviously a disappointment by any standard, but for the Browns, just a sense of, you know, where things are with the progress, and you came into this new, but what is your sense of the foundation here? And if you are part of this team next year, what's your expectation on what you see around you and where it can go?
We were in every football game this year but one, I think, the Houston Texan game. I mean, we really in the fourth quarter had a chance to, we had the ball, had a chance to drive and take a lead, or we had a lead and gave it up. I feel like this team, well, number one, everyone knows it, we've all said it, young. And we had a lot of injuries. I mean, whatever it is, every team has those excuses at the end of the year. But bottom line is your record's 4-12. I thought with special teams, I thought late in the year with a lot of the injuries we had a lot of guys come up off of practice squad, sign new guys, and some of those guys were playing then. We got a chance to see a lot of young guys, and it looks to me like we have a lot of young, talented guys on special teams. I look forward to seeing those guys play next year.
Well, great stuff, and good luck to you. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio. Proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You find everything you need.
The Improv Comedy Club is proud to present the Freddy Krueger of comedy, magician and comedian Amazing Jonathan. Come see Amazing Jonathan this Friday through Sunday at the Improv, located next to Shooters on the West Bank of the Flats. Amazing Jonathan, you've seen him on Jimmy Kimmel Live and The Late Show with David Letterman. Now come see Amazing Jonathan live and in person this weekend only. Call 696-IMPROV, that's 696-4677, for tickets to see the hysterically disturbing magician and comedian Amazing Jonathan. We'll see you there.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Are you willing to pay more for life insurance than you should? Well, did you know some prices on term life insurance have fallen to their lowest rates ever? Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. So let's say you're 40 years old and married. We could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-400-4806. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how much we could save you. It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%, and the call is absolutely free. Call 1-800-400-4806. That's 1-800-400-4806.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies. And when I heard that, I was shocked. Because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-933-1039. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-933-1039. That's 1-800-933-1039.
Absolutely nothing wrong with a little Bruce Springsteen on a football Wednesday here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. and I go from Bruce Springsteen to some country music, because you can see Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw for the first time together in 10 years. That's on July 29th at Cleveland Browns Stadium, plus special guests Grace Potter, The Nocturnals, and Jake Owen. Tickets are on sale, available at Ticketmaster or by calling 1-800-745-3000. And this Around the League segment, it's driven by Liberty Ford. Time to take a look at some of the headlines around the National Football League, and helping us to do that is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Clark, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be here, Vic. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's start in Oakland, Clark, where Hugh Jackson is out as head coach of the Raiders. And I know they bring in a new general manager, Reggie McKenzie from the Packers. But is there, and you're going to have change, but is there any surprise to the fact that you had Hugh Jackson have a big role in pulling off the major trade for Carson Palmer to come there as quarterback from Cincinnati? He's out now.
Yeah, no, there is a surprise. I mean, each year there's always one head coaching shocker, sort of, and this was it. Not necessarily that it happened, but that it happened this quickly. I mean, Reggie McKenzie comes in as a GM one day, and the next day, boom, Hugh Jackson is gone. When you said he sort of had a role, yeah, he not only had a role, he was the guy who brought in Carson Palmer. He's the one that pulled off the trade, and he's also the guy who said it's the greatest trade in the history of the NFL. I don't know about that. But you make that trade, then you lead the league in penalties. You go 1-4 down the stretch. You don't win the division. There are numbers of things. Plus, I mean, honestly, what I hear from people out there who know that team, in and out of that team, players didn't like Hugh Jackson. And they felt as if he got a little too much power. And at the end, remember after they lost to San Diego, he threw that team under the bus. Players didn't appreciate that either. And I think McKenzie comes in there and kind of looks at the scene and says, okay, we're going to make some changes. And I'll tell you what it tells me, Vic, is that they're moving farther and farther and really fast away from the Al Davis era. Hugh Jackson was a handpicked successor to Tom Cable by Al Davis. Al Davis put him in charge there. And after games, Hugh Jackson, especially wins, Hugh Jackson often would invoke the memory of Al Davis or the words of Al Davis and talk fondly about him. Well, now there's another connection with Al Davis that's gone. We're really moving in a very different direction for the Oakland Raiders. And the farther we move, the farther we move away from Al Davis.
Clark, can you see Reggie McKenzie bringing in a philosophy that would be very similar to what we know the Packers' approach to be? And is it possible to really kind of transplant that and in terms of how they've built that program and the structure of an offense that's really, with Mike McCarthy there, West Coast based, as opposed to trying to go for the, you know, those long shot plays and the things that, as you say, define the Al Davis era?
Sure, absolutely I can. I think it's a brave new world for Oakland now, and not necessarily a bad one. I think they're going in a new direction. And you know, you look at where they've been since 2002, Vic, and that's a good deal because since 2002 they haven't done anything. They've had a lot of losing years. They were 8-8 this year. The door is wide open for them to win that division, and they couldn't close it. And so, yeah, I think there will be a different philosophy. There's going to be a new head coach, new assistants, and they're going to be new players too. But, you know, they got a quarterback in place you think is a franchise quarterback, and the reason they got him in there was because he could get the ball down the field. Well, you're not suddenly going to say, okay, Carson Palmer, change your game, but there will be a bit of a different philosophy. And I think it probably is time, and it's overdue. And, you know, we'll see where the Raiders go from here. But the good news for them is they're in a division where anything's possible. Three teams were 8-8, and the last place team was 7-9. So you're right there.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have a new owner, and now they have a new head coach, Mike Mularkey, or I should say a new permanent head coach, if permanent's even a word we can use in the NFL or pro sports. But Mike Mularkey taking over now, and he's, of course, formerly the offensive coordinator of the Falcons. He had been a head coach in Buffalo. Is there reason to think, because he had that that time in Buffalo that did not work out well for him as a head coach, is there reason to think that Mike's better equipped to handle a head coaching job now?
Not based on what I saw last weekend. I was at that Giants game with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta got 2 points, and they weren't by the offense. Eli Manning served him up to him. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, you certainly know of him from your Buffalo background, and I'll tell you what I remember from that experience, Vic, was the year when they were 9-7. They were 9-6, and they had a home game, the last game of the season, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were already in, already clinched, and it was meaningless to Pittsburgh, and all Buffalo had to do was win at home against the backups for the Steelers, and they couldn't close the deal. And they had better talent, certainly, than Jacksonville does. And I know what the hope is. The hope is that you bring him in here to make Blaine Gabbert a better quarterback. You draft Blaine Gabbert because you think he's going to be your franchise quarterback. And he struggled this year, and you say, well, okay, we want to get him to the point where we think he can be much better than this. Based on what I saw this year, I don't know if that's possible. I really don't. I mean, I saw a lot of indecision, a lot of bad passes, a lot of mistakes. He needs somebody to help him. I don't know that Mike Mularkey's the guy. He works with Matt Ryan, and you say, well, okay, there's reason to believe that he can, you know, do something with Gabbert because he did it with Ryan. This is not Matt Ryan we're talking about. This is a different quarterback. So I think that's why he's in there, is because they certainly want to make Gabbert the centerpiece of the rebuilding effort here. But good luck to you. And good luck with Mike Mularkey, because this ain't going to sell tickets.
Checking some of the headlines around the National Football League with Clark Judge from CBSSports.com here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Clark, when we look at the New York Jets, there are so many different stories there. But let's start with this one. Brian Schottenheimer out as offensive coordinator. And the idea is that Tony Sparano, former head coach of the Dolphins, would be the guy who's expected to be in. But what do you make of, first of all, of Schottenheimer being out, especially in light of a lot of the Daily News story, New York Daily News story comes out with anonymous players and others being quoted as saying that Mark Sanchez is a lazy guy, doesn't want to work real hard, doesn't really invest what he needs to. That sounds like the worst enemy of an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of different things here that are going on here, Vic. One is the Schottenheimer story. The other is that one that you just mentioned. The one that you just mentioned, let's deal with first, and that's the players who are talking about Sanchez, and would they like Peyton Manning to come in here? Absolutely, they'd like Peyton Manning to come in here. Well, you ask, 90% of the teams or players around the league, would you want Peyton Manning? They'd say yes. I mean, only New England or Green Bay or New Orleans where they say no. And so that to me is sort of a non-story. It's more a reflection of Mark Sanchez, the quotes about Sanchez I thought were interesting. But, last time I checked, Rex Ryan's running this team, and Rex Ryan said, Mark Sanchez is my quarterback for the future. He's going to be a good one. I believe in him. Okay, well, Mark Sanchez isn't going anywhere. So, and we also know that Peyton Manning may not be going anywhere either, and he may not play again. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of questions about Peyton Manning that need to be resolved. So that's one issue. The other is Brian Schottenheimer. Somebody's going to be a scapegoat for this year. Guess what? Brian Schottenheimer is that guy. And so they're bringing in, it looks like, Tony Sparano to run that offense. Bill Callahan's out, too. That's a huge loss for him. The offensive line coach, but it does not. There are really not many offensive line coaches I can think of, Mike Solari maybe in San Francisco, who are better than Bill Callahan, and they lose him. And that's a big subtraction for the Jets. But the Schottenheimer deal, he's taken a lot of criticism. Rex and Mike Tannenbaum stood behind him and said, oh, he's going to be our offensive coordinator. Now he's gone, and there's a suspicion that he could be going to Tampa Bay if his dad gets that job. Marty's interviewing there. I don't know that Marty's going to get that job. If he did, absolutely he'd follow him. But Brian Schottenheimer is not to blame for what happened here. Honestly, I'd start at the top. They didn't bring in the right players. They didn't have the ground-and-pound aspect that they've had in the years past. A year ago, Brian Schottenheimer was a genius. 2 years ago, he was on everybody's radar as the next head coach. What happened? He didn't get stupid overnight. They just didn't have the players, and you saw that with Santonio Holmes. I mean, they made him a captain, for God's sake. And you saw what happened in that last game. So I'd start with the people they put in there. The running game couldn't go anywhere. The offensive line wasn't very good. And if you can't run, you can't do play action with Mark Sanchez, and the whole thing collapses, and it comes down on Brian Schottenheimer's head, and yeah, he's gone. He's a scapegoat.
The Indianapolis Colts, speaking of maybe scapegoats, if that's the right term here, but after a season that started 0-13, end up cleaning house at the top, Bill Polian out as vice chairman, his son Chris Polian out as general manager, and now, and this is the thing that strikes me about the Colts, hiring Ryan Grigson, formerly of the Eagles, to be their new general manager. Certainly that's not a household name in the NFL, and not the same approach that the Colts took when they hired Bill Polian originally to be their general manager and then eventually their team president, who by that time had a lot of pelts on the wall with all his success, of course, from the Buffalo Bills, then having been with the Carolina Panthers. So they've really kind of gone with the unknown versus the known quantity they had in Polian 14 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's right, Vic, and it strikes me as, you know, something like we were talking earlier and started this conversation with the Oakland Raiders and what they're doing. It strikes me as somewhat similar in that we're beginning to move away from that Polian era now. We're starting all over. We're starting a complete new setup here, and I don't think there'd be many people out there who would tell you they're not going to draft Andrew Luck. So we're moving in a different direction now. We're kind of moving away from Peyton Manning, although he's still there, and he still might be the quarterback next year and the year after that, but... you know, it's a new beginning here for the Indianapolis Colts, and they haven't gone for the household name. They've gone to somebody from a very successful organization and bringing him in. And I think it's a very difficult position for anyone to be in because you're following one of the greats of this game, and that's Bill Polian, in terms of knowing personnel. And he did a remarkable job in Buffalo, did a remarkable job in Carolina, and did the same in Indianapolis. And so you've got to follow that. That's tough. And I don't know many people could do it. Probably it's the right move to take someone who's under the radar and a guy who can learn on the job. Maybe more responsibility goes to Jim Irsay. Maybe more goes to the head coach who comes in. Who knows? But I think if this situation, or if it's Jim Caldwell, and that's the next thing for Ryan Grigson. I think if he comes in there, probably the expectation is that, you know, maybe Caldwell's going to make it. And I didn't think he would, but maybe he's going to make it because this isn't a guy who would have somebody definite in mind. But that's the first question he's going to be asked, much as Reggie McKenzie was asked in Oakland. Do you have the power to fire this guy? I'm sure he does. But he's, you know, new on the job, and he's going to be getting the lay of the land quickly. I think it's an interesting hire. It's one that's out of the box, and it's one that, you know, comes from a club, as I said, with a history of success. So that's why it makes sense, and it makes sense also because it looks like the Colts are going in a completely new direction.
So, Clark, about a half hour after that miraculous Tim Tebow beating the Steelers in overtime. About a half hour after that, the New England Patriots announced that Josh McDaniels, the guy who drafted Tebow, yeah, who brought him to Denver in the first place last year, is going to join them as their as part of their coaching staff and of course as their.
He's bringing his camera with him. He's bringing his film crew with him. That's what I want to know.
So I mean, are you bugged at all by that? Should there be? I mean, my initial thought here is John Fox is coaching this Bronco team now, and Tim Tebow, whatever Tim Tebow's doing for the Broncos now, is nothing that Josh McDaniels was involved in, because Josh spent this past season, of course, with the St. Louis Rams. So should we just leave it at that, or are you bothered in any way by
this? No, I'm not. I mean, some people are. I'm not. I mean, it's odd. I mean, it's awkward. I mean, why would you do this in the middle of a playoff run? You suddenly bring in somebody in who wasn't there during the season. It's weird. It's just a weird setup. I mean, I just but it's Bill Belichick. So, you know, he gets results, and you think, well, okay, I mean, if you get results, why not? I don't know. This one, it's just odd, but do I think it's unfair or a competitive advantage? No, I don't. I mean, if it were a competitive advantage, Josh McDaniels wouldn't have been fired from there, for goodness sake. I mean, he couldn't win with those guys. So, yeah, he drafted Tebow. He knows something about him, but he's been removed from there for a year. There's a different coaching staff in there. And, you know, you don't have to know too much about Tim Tebow, know how to defend him. You just run the film, and you see what's going on there. And yet people can't stop it. And that's to John Fox's credit, to Tim Tebow's credit, to the Denver Broncos' credit. I think it gives us something to talk about going into this game. I don't think it's a big deal. In fact, I don't think it's much of a deal at all. It's a little bit odd, I think, for the rest of those coaches on the New England staff. Suddenly this guy who was here 3 years ago or something and who was pumping his fist after he beat New England in Denver is back on the coaching staff. It's odd. It's just weird.
Odd and weird. Yeah, those, not the first time we've heard those words.
No.
Associated with the Patriots. All right.
Yeah, that's right. And I just, as I said, I don't know why this is a competitive advantage. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denver goes in there and does what it did in Denver, you know, last month, which is it runs the ball and it runs up and down the field. And if it can avoid the mistakes that crippled it in the second quarter, people tell me, oh, it's a great Belichick defense. He figured them out. No, he didn't. They fumbled the ball three times in the second quarter. If he figured them out, why did they gain 225 yards on their first three possessions? They scored 17 points, and they were going up and down the field.
Yeah.
He didn't defend them. They fumbled the ball. And once you get behind Tom Brady, it's over. And especially if you got Tim Tebow there, because you now are forcing him out of his comfort zone and the Broncos out of their comfort zone. They've got to play hurry up and throw the ball down the field. That's not them. They want to take their time. They've got to stay close here. They can't let New England get away from them. And that's what happened when they fumbled the ball.
Great stuff, Clark, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Vic. Always a pleasure. Check in again.
He is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Check out his great work there. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of Wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Buckets at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolution.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-959-2236 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-959-2236. 1-800-959-2236. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
And we thank you so much for spending this portion of your Wednesday with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Browns fans, deposits for 2012 season tickets and club-level memberships are now being accepted to place your deposit today. Call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this offensive line review segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And today's review segment is going to focus on the Browns' offensive line, its performance in the 2011 season, and no one better to help us do that than Doug Deacon, former Browns offensive lineman and, of course, analyst for the Browns Radio Network. Doug, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Vic.
Well, Doug, as we look at this group, it was an interesting season for a lot of reasons. Injury, youth, development of some of these young people. And overall, you know, it was, I think we talked about this. I know we did a lot on the roundtable during the year of what that progress line was. How do you feel from what you saw from game one, Cincinnati, to that finale against Pittsburgh in terms of where this offensive line came from and ended up?
Well, I think they took some, you know, large steps, especially the young players. You know, Joe Thomas is a given. You're going to get a dependable, consistent, high-end performance out of Joe every week, and pretty much the same with Alex Mack. I think, the, you know, the deck kind of got shuffled when Eric Steinbach went down with the back injury. And, you know, I think the thinking going in was Jason Pinkston was going to be one of those developmental guys that you kind of had him run with the scout team and, you know, get his reps and eventually, you know, maybe next year compete for a starting job. But that whole procedure kind of got put on high speed because of the injury and loss to Steinbach. And, you know, like most young players, you know, there's a lot of things that you haven't seen, and there's a lot of in part of the game that, you know, really takes some time to go through. And as the season progressed, I think they progressed. The one thing I think that, you know, we really missed was our outside running game this year. And, you know, be it the fact that both of them maybe weren't as comfortable pulling as, you know, a Steinbach was, you know, and the fact that we didn't really have a speed back to get to the corner, it kind of condensed the offense in regards to the running game. But overall, I thought the two young guys got some very valuable experience. And it's, you know, the one thing I think a lot of players don't realize is, you know, part of the game of pro football is being able to play hurt. And, you know, you look at Laval towards the end of the season, he was pretty beat up, but he was still hanging in there. And, you know, with that said, you know, he played at a good standard of execution, you know, being banged up. And the other thing, I guess, when you look to the offensive line would be the right tackle position. Pashos was playing on one ankle for the most part, had some trouble, you know, with the speed rushers, but, you know, he sucked it up and he played very competitively, although not probably at the standard that he would like. But, you know, that's one of those evaluation processes, you know, you got to sit there and say, is Tony Pashos on one ankle as good as what we might have behind?
Sure.
Although I've got to say, Artis Hicks, when he did fill in the last game, played a very good game, and a couple other times that he was slotted in there, you know, Artis Hicks did a nice job too.
Yeah, Artis Hicks, O'Neal Cousins were getting some of those reps at that right tackle spot, but yeah, Tony Pashos battling his way all year long. We hear so much about the importance of continuity on an offensive line, Doug, and I know it can simply be said that you get continuity by just leaving that same group of five in there all year long, which rarely happens because of the aforementioned injuries and so forth. But how else is that developed, and what are some of the important ways that a line kind of gets its, I'm looking for the right word, identity, chemistry, I guess is the better word, together? What are some of the things that you saw, and I know it applies particularly to these younger people, but what are some of the elements that have to be absorbed and handled where the younger guys are now working with Joe Thomas, working with Alex Mack? If you can break down the specifics of how that progresses.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, you know, you can go to the first game against Cincinnati where they jumped off sides three or four times to the point that I think Pat had, you know, said, hey, we're going to just, the cadence is going to be on one every time so you guys know what it is. To the point at the end of the season, you know, that wasn't a problem. As simple as it seems, you know, when you're a young player, you've got a lot on your mind and you're thinking rather than reacting, and sometimes it gets a little confusing in there. But besides just the mental aspects, you know, and the physical aspects, you know, there's that chemistry where both the guard and the tackle are on the same page. If you see, you know, people doing something defensively, you know automatically what you're going to do, and you know what the guy next to you is going to do. And I kind of look at it, you know, when Joe DeLamalur came here, Joe played for Buffalo for a long time, and Joe was a run-blocking guard. But Joe also was a guard that every time, you know, he did a pass set, he set short because that was the nature of him, to be aggressive. And everybody else on the offensive line was pretty much a long arm, you know, absorb the defensive rusher and walk him back to the quarterback. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you create gaps, you know, for the defense because one guy's sitting short and the other guy's sitting soft, and there's a natural gap there. And I think, you know, just the chemistry that comes from playing with somebody and understanding how they're going to set in pass protection and what they're going to do, that's something that, you know, you can only get through, you know, playing together. And with the lockout, I think, you know, for the young guys, Laval and Pinkston, the fundamentals of, you know, like the footwork, and footwork is a big part of, you know, the game and the offensive line. I always tell guys, I don't care how big and strong you are, if you can't move your feet, you're not going to be worth a damn anyhow. And that's basically, I think, you know, some of the things that they had to learn throughout the course of the season. And I think, you know, you could see as the season progressed, you know, when we had healthy running backs, we did have a running game.
Right, right. Doug Deacon is our guest. He is, of course, former Browns offensive lineman, member of the Browns radio network as an analyst, breaking down the Browns offensive line for the 2011 season. There was so much that went on this year and so many bizarre things, I think is the best way to put it, Doug. But you think about Alex Mack, and you think about your center, your starting center, having an appendectomy and having that develop in the middle of a season. And, of course, from a timing standpoint, I mean, he plays through a game with that. And then there's a bye, and he comes back and doesn't stop. Doesn't miss a game. It tells us something about Alex. But I guess it also does make a resounding statement, of course, to the rest of the offensive line. That level of accountability seems to me to be something that can grow with this line.
Well, not only accountability, dependability. You know, you want to know that you're going to have the same, like you say, try to have the same five guys out there. And then as you watch the playoffs and you see what happened to Atlanta and what happened to Pittsburgh, I think, you know, a big part of that is the fact that their offensive lines are probably the weak links of their football team. And you know, you can have the greatest quarterback in the world, and you know, guys like Matt Ryan and Roethlisberger are, you know, pretty high-end quarterbacks, but you know, if you got people in your face all day long, you're not going to be able to play. And I think, you know, that the fact that Alex Mack, you know, had the appendectomy, then came back and, you know, played the following game after the bye week, speaks volumes. And you know, it's you know, these guys, I always tell me, so you can make as much money as you want in this league, but you can't take that with you. What you can take is the respect you have of your fellow teammates by how you play and, you know, the kind of person you are. And I think, you know, Alex Mack earned a lot of respect from his fellow offensive linemen. And I know Joe Thomas, he's, you know, in 5 years, I don't think he's ever missed a snap. And, you know, last year, the year before, 2010, I think Joe played with a little bit of an elbow problem. But, you know, maybe his play wasn't as good as it was the year before or was this past season, but Joe was there every week for him. And that's something that, you know, you look for in a player, somebody that when the coach puts the game plan in, you know, he knows what he's going to have over there.
Jason Pinkston, Doug, just impressed me as someone who, as he got more confidence and more awareness of what he was doing and started to make that progress. And, you know, I don't know that it was the kind of progress line that shoots up, you know, shoots straight up in the air, but certainly gradually I saw a guy who was becoming more physical and more confident in what he could do physically. And by the time they faced Arizona and he's going up against Calais Campbell, there's at least one point in that game where he takes Campbell and throws him to the ground and just gets, you know, and you're messing with a guy there who's really one of the top defensive linemen in the league and showing no fear. And I'm not saying that he would show that fear is something you're going to see very often from any NFL player, but certainly as a young man, he seemed to grow up quickly and grow up with that attitude. And my question to you is, do you see that permeating within this line? Is it a tough group that is going to have that sort of identity going forward?
Oh, I think it's a tough group. I mean, it gets back to the think-react syndrome where, you know, when you're young and you're trying to think, you know, you're a little hesitant, but then once you get some experience under your belt, and you react, and all of a sudden you become a better player, and it takes you to the next level. And I didn't think that, you know, Jason was never really a liability during the course of the season. Yeah, there's times that, you know, he got had some trouble, but, you know, every guy in this league has trouble. It's not uncommon. But, you know, the experience that he got, you know, for a guy that had played tackle in college, and then it's a little easier on the inside where you have bodies on both sides to protect you, but there's a lot of traffic in there. And I think both Jason and Sean Laval are, you know, the strength of their game is the physicalness of it. Now the next step is, you know, we've got to get a place where, you know, as Glenn Collier used to say, you have an attitude play where that if you need that 1 yard, you're going to run the same play and nobody's going to stop you regardless of what they do. And I think, you know, with the maturity of the two young guards and, you know, a healthy right tackle, you know, you can develop that because, you know, short yardage is, you know, is a big part of the game because you got to convert the third and ones.
How interesting is it going to be for you to see how the arrival of a new offensive coordinator and whatever ideas that that guy brings, whoever that might be, to this scheme, meshing, of course, with what Pat Shurmur has. I don't, you know, I don't think any of us expects it to be a radical departure from what Shurmur is doing. But nonetheless, it's a new idea in the mix as it applies to this offensive line. And the West Coast scheme, we know it to be mostly that of horizontal type of passing. We know the running game has a part of it, but it's primarily been a passing game, at least for Pat Shurmur, that sets up the run. Could you see any adjustments and ways that the maybe new scheming is going to affect the way this line plays going
forward?
Well,
I think, you know, when you have a Joe Thomas and an Alex Mack and a Steinbach, who are all very athletic offensive linemen, you know, that kind of, it tells you there's a lot of flexibility in what you can do. And, you know, we got lit up pretty good by Houston this year with their zone blocking. And I think, you know, the stretch plays, and I think that's something that, you know, those three guys would be very adept in that regards because they play in space very well. I think, you know, they all pull well. They all, when it comes to going downfield, you know, they're guys that, you know, they have good motors and good agility, and, you know, they can target somebody and, you know, knock them off their feet down the field, not just at the line of scrimmage. The one thing I think that I'd really, and of course, I'd like to see him learn to do is the cut block, because, you know, too often defensive linemen like to tee off, and, you know, if you're just going to sit there and, you know, take the beating, or, you know, the guy coming at you every time, if you cut a guy, you know, they know that their livelihood is their knees, and once you cut them and get them on the ground, they think about it the next time they come full steam. And with that said, you know, when you have quarterbacks that are maybe 6 foot tall, 6 foot one, or whatever, a lot of times the defensive linemen get their hands up, and, you know, they're able to swat down passes, and by, you know, cutting them, it keeps them from, you know, getting their hands up, because they're putting their hands down to protect themselves. And you know, if you cut them and get them down on the ground a few times, they'll think the second time.
Doug, great stuff. Appreciate it very much, and we'll catch up with you a little later in the offseason.
Sounds good.
All right. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former standout Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself, or visit libertyford.com.
Browns fans, stay connected to the team with the Cleveland Browns official mobile app. It's free and available for your iPhone or Android. Download the app today to gain access to news, team information, and exclusive videos on the go. Visit clevelandbrowns.com for more information.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Browns fans, stay connected to the team with the Cleveland Browns official mobile app. It's free and available for your iPhone or Android. Download the app today to gain access to news, team information, and exclusive videos on the go. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for more information.
Now it's time to buy that boat at the Progressive Insurance Mid-America Boat Show. Find the best deals on power boats, sailboats, fishing boats, ski boats, pontoons, and personal watercraft. Plus, great deals on pre-owned models from the region's best dealers. Daily seminars on the Angler's Alley stage from the region's top pros and experts all week. The Progressive Insurance Mid-America Boat Show, sponsored by Lake Erie Living Magazine, January 13th through the 22nd at the IX Center. Tickets and details at ClevelandBoatShow.com.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-933-1039. And now I've made my smoothies even better, because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-933-1039. That's 1-800-933-1039.
When Lexus launched the RX, it was the original luxury crossover. And then, following its success, our competitors began to introduce their own versions. But over the years, one thing has become clear. While the RX is often imitated, it remains impossible to duplicate. The RX didn't just set the bar for the competition, it raises it every day. From building the first luxury hybrid to offering a pre-collision system with radar technology and a class-leading 10 airbags. When innovation happens, it happens here first. Which may have something to do with why the Lexus RX also has the best driver loyalty in its class. The Lexus RX. Why settle for a copy when you can drive the original? See your Cleveland, Akron area Lexus dealer.
Based on the average loyalty rate of all SUVs in the Lexus near luxury SUV segment since 2000 using R.L. Polk & Company's household loyalty methodology.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Football Wednesday edition. We're going to go into the mailbag. Going to check out the letters that you've questions on Twitter. You can't write much of a letter in 140 characters, but you do submit those to the Browns official Twitter and Facebook pages, as at LeeSmith92 did via Twitter. Will the Browns ever wear their home jerseys again? Talking about those Brown jerseys, we get this is a very popular question. I'm going to take a guess. I don't have any inside knowledge on this. I think the answer is, I think so. I think they will wear them again. Yeah, I don't think the all-white look that we saw this year with the uniform, which a lot of people, there was mixed feelings, heard a fair amount of complaints about them, but I think the look and Brown jersey being part of that look will be will return to this football team. That's my guess, based on nothing but a guess. Jess, via the Browns official Facebook page. If our wide receivers had caught a few more passes, would Colt McCoy be assured of a starting spot in 2012? I would say that if wide receivers had caught more passes, I mean a few more, let's say more than a few, sure, Colt McCoy would probably be in better stead. It hurt his performance or his production to have guys drop passes, as we saw Greg Little do on more than a few occasions. It hurt that guys didn't always get open, but it hurt that Colt didn't always find open players. I think in assessing his season, you've got to look at it. If the point of a question like this is it was just the receivers that let him down completely, I'd say for the most part he didn't get the greatest help in the world there. No. But I would also hasten to say that he takes some accountability as well. And when the Browns, when Pat Shurmur, Tom Heckert, Mike Holmgren, when they assess that position going forward and what to do with it in the offseason, and what to do with it in 2012 and to make it a competition, I think they look at all aspects. But it includes how Colt played. And I would say there's something to work with there. But I would also say that he didn't make an overwhelming case that he shouldn't have a challenger. I'm not sure there's an argument to him being challenged for the job in 2012. And it doesn't mean he's not going to keep it. Via Facebook, Michael, based solely on passing stats, McCoy had a better season than Tim Tebow. So where does our problem lie, at quarterback or receivers? Kind of a similar question to the other one. I think the receiving core has got to be made better. I think quarterback's got to play better, but if you're asking me what position could use the more help, I would go for that. Steve via Facebook, is the defense for real, or was it statistically good only because of the Browns' weak schedule? Everything's relative, Steve, but no, I thought it was sound, and statistically, especially against the pass, did a nice job. Didn't always play as well as it needed to against the run. I thought it improved as the year went on. I think Dick Geron's scheming had a lot to do with making a defense that didn't have an overwhelmingly great amount of talent play better. Let's thank Brad Maynard and Doug Deacon and Clark Judge, Pat McKenna, Michelle Manzo, Dave DiNatale, and my producer tonight, Will Burge. Thank you all. We'll see you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.